Well, please do keep that passage from Acts open. We're going to be looking at that today. And today we've got a bit of a sort of a one-off sermon before we go into our new term of teaching, as I said earlier. And I've really picked this passage because it contains some information about a particular hero of mine from the Bible, who is the character Barnabas. And there's just something about Barnabas. I think everybody would have loved Barnabas. He's kind, he's generous, he's warm-hearted, and just a brilliant bloke, as far as I can tell from what we can find out in Scripture. So just to help us think through the next term, our life at church together, our growth in discipleship, and how we might walk with the Lord Jesus over the next term, and the life of this church, I thought he would be a really good example for us to begin to learn from. We're going to see three things. The first one is that he is generous. The second thing is that he is encouraging. And the third thing is that he's a mentor. So you put those three letters together and you end up with a gem. Barnabas is an absolute gem of a character, and I hope that there's something we can learn from his character today. If I was in the East End, I'd probably call him a diamond geezer. But today, we're going to just call him a gem. So what is it about Barnabas' generosity that we can learn from? Well, if you've got your Bibles open, just turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 36. I'm going to jump a little bit around Acts this morning. It says there, in verse 36 of chapter 4, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. We can see how Barnabas' generous attitude rubbed off on others. Here he is. He's laid the money from the field that he's sold to support the church. And this is right on in the early days in the life of the church. His generosity being seen there. Then flip back again to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It says here, for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And during this time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And then in verse 29, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders via Barnabas and Saul. So we can see that Barnabas has this great attitude towards others, this wonderful generosity that he loves to give. He's a great example of maybe how we should handle our possessions. They're not just simply a way to live, but they're a way of blessing others. And that's what he seeks to do. He seeks to, if he was a wealthy man having that field, to bless others with the generous things that God has given him. Wesley said, earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, and give as much as you can. And I think this is an example of what Barnabas has been living there. He's been generous with what God has given him. Now, this isn't a sermon about giving money, but I want to really focus on rather about Barnabas' generous attitude towards others. He's generous in spirit as well as with his possessions. And his attitude to others extends well beyond his financial attitude. He's full of grace towards those he works amongst as well. So turn back a couple of pages to Acts 9. We see Barnabas took and brought Paul, this is, to the apostles. And he tells them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and how he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. You see, Barnabas here is being really generous towards Paul. Paul was a persecutor. He just experienced his epiphany with Jesus on the Damascus Road. And the church was scared of Paul. But Barnabas, being generous in character, generous in spirit, stands up for Paul and says, no, I've heard him preach. I'm going to stick up for him. Even though he has this reputation, I know that he's a changed man, that Jesus has changed him. And now he is going to be an amazing man of God. I'm going to stand up for him. A generous attitude towards someone that didn't deserve it. And we can see how This attitude extends to other people too. You don't need to turn to this one, it's up on the screen. But Acts 15, Barnabas is also generous towards John Mark, the writer of the first gospel. So Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. So here we have Barnabas and Paul having a bit of a fallout, and Paul saying, no, well, let's not bother with John Mark. He abandoned us before. He's not reliable. But no, there's Barnabas again, just as he defended Paul with that early church. Now he's defending John Mark and saying, no, hang on, let's give him another go. Let's give him another chance. You see his generous attitude towards others. Amazing grace that he's showing both to Paul and also to John Mark. Barnabas's attitude then is one that's always ready to accept and forgive and work with people, even when perhaps they don't deserve it. And I think we can learn a lot about that together as a community. You know, as a church, it can be a hard place. We're messed up people doing messed up things in a messed up way, and we do make mistakes. But I think Barnabas's attitude teaches us, no, let's be generous with the grace that we've received and offer it to one another. Let's encourage one another to be generous with our attitude to one another, generous with forgiveness. But Barnabas has understood that his ability to extend that grace to others wasn't some sort of personal effort on his behalf. He'd understood that the grace he'd received from God was a grace so wonderful and so profound and deep and life-changing that this grace must be extended to others, that others too can experience the love of God and the grace of God. I believe that Barnabas received that grace. He knew what it was to follow Jesus and to experience that grace of having his sins forgiven, of being washed clean, of being given a fresh start, even though he didn't deserve it. I know I've understood that grace, that I've had my sins washed clean, even when I didn't deserve it. And there's a deep joy that comes out of that, isn't there? When you've understood the profound message of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, that we can be restored and forgiven. That joy fills us up, doesn't it, and overflows. How can we not then extend that love and that grace to others? We must be generous with our attitude. We must be generous with grace. I see it a bit like a lightning conductor. You know, as lightning hits that conductor, it then spreads that lightning out to others, doesn't it? It spreads it, it conducts it. So as we receive that grace from God, we should conduct that same grace to others, that they too might receive and experience something of God's amazing grace. So let's be generous in giving out grace to one another. Because it becomes infectious. When we transmit and we experience that grace ourselves and we give that out to others, we can see that it becomes infectious. So if you look at Acts 11:26, it says this, "For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. The disciples, as each were able, decided to provide for them, for the believers living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul." So we can see Barnabas' generous character infecting that whole church. That the whole church is now motivated to give and to provide for that church that was suffering and going through such a hard time. His generosity was breeding more generosity. Like breeds unto like, doesn't it? So generosity is like a virtuous circle. The more generous we are, the more generous others become, and vice versa. And it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. I think it's a shame that Barnabas isn't leading us through the Brexit campaign over the next few years. I think his attitude would be so refreshing. Great, we've got all these assets. Who can we bless? How can we bless others? Wouldn't that be amazing if we had some politicians living like that? How can we be generous to others? So the next part of our gem is this E, his ability to encourage others. He has the real gift of encouragement. So we learn about him again, as I read at the beginning from Acts 4. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. His real name was Joseph, but the apostles called him Barnabas because he was so good at encouraging others. That's his nickname, the encourager, if you like. Now, we tend, like the Olympics, don't we? We tend to think that cheering people on is a way that we encourage others, you know, to reach the finish line. Of course, that's true and that's good. But it's a little bit deeper than that in a discipleship context, isn't it? It's about saying, have courage. Be encouraged. You know, be courageous in the way that you live your life for God. And I think that's the way that Barnabas understands the term as well. So from our passage today in verse 23 from Acts 11, he says this: when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas encourages them to remain true to the Lord. What this means is that we need to take our discipleship in growing faith seriously. If this all seems quite new to you, this is one of the reasons we run Alpha and Christianity Explored, as we will be in the new term, so that we can grow in our faith, so we can grow in our knowledge of Jesus and what he's done for us. It's why we have small groups and prayer partners, so that we can encourage one another to live our lives fully for Jesus in the everyday aspects of our lives. But I think also thinking about this courage aspect to discipleship, one of the things we have to learn as Christians is to allow God to put his finger on those aspects of our character which don't bring him glory, like I prayed during the confession. It can be really hard sometimes to actually own up to some of the deeper things that we tend to hide away. We put the masks on and ignore and pretend that they're not there. A couple of times in my Christian journey, I've been so thankful for people that I've been able to go alongside and pray with to say, actually, I'm really struggling with this particular area of my life and I can't seem to just get it nailed. Would you pray for me? And these weren't big, deep-rooted sins necessarily, but just things that were holding me back from my walk with God. And that can be a brave thing to do that. It's a bit like when you go for surgery, isn't it? No one likes going through surgery, but actually when that whatever is cut out and thrown away and we heal up, we're better for it in the long run. And that's what it's like to have courage in our discipleship. Sometimes there are things in our lives that God needs to come along with his surgical knife and cut out and remove so that we can be healed and made whole again, that we can follow Jesus and become more the person that he's created us to be. We all have them. We all have things that we need to deal with. You'll know more than I will what that means for you. But can I encourage you today to be brave about it? Find someone you know and trust and love who can pray with you. And there's something about sharing that with someone else in confidence, confidentiality, that breaks the power of it and then releases us to follow Jesus more clearly, more nearly and more dearly. That's what I think Barnabas is doing by encouraging others to remain true to the Lord. It's just an example. So let's look at his next example, is that he is also a great mentor. And we can see this in his attitude and relationship to Paul. So in our passage today, verse 25, it tells us that Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Here's a map to give us a little bit of context. So the circle there where modern-day Syria meets modern-day Turkey, there's an Antioch there. There's another Antioch smack in the middle of Turkey. It's not that one. And Paul, or Saul, from Tarsus is just around the corner there, as you can see on the top left-hand corner of that circle. Now, Barnabas takes the 100-mile trip or so to go and find Saul. Why has he done that? Why has he made that long journey? Well, there's something really interesting about Paul, and I've been really encouraged about this as I've been training in ministry, I guess for 7 or so years now. We tend to think, because Acts reads so quick, doesn't it, that these events happen like this, really, really quickly. But actually, when we do the maths, Paul's been in training for something like 14 years before he's released to go on his first missionary journey. So Galatians tells us that after his conversion, Paul wanders off into the Arabian desert for about 3 years. And then when Barnabas comes and finds him at Antioch, it's something like another 8 years between his arrival and this time at Antioch. And then he spends 4 years with Barnabas and under Barnabas's leadership and mentoring. So it's something like 14 years or so before Paul, this great apostle, probably the greatest missionary ever to have lived on this earth. He spends 14 years in training before he's released to go on his first mission. I find that quite encouraging, don't you? But I think significantly, why has Barnabas gone and found Paul from Tarsus to minister here in Antioch? It's because Paul knew the context really well. Earlier in Acts, we find that Paul had been debating with the Greek philosophers at the time around this area. He was well versed in the cosmopolitan life. He had the skills and the ability to preach the gospel to this particular community. And Barnabas had understood that. As a mentor, he'd spotted something in Paul and said, yeah, this is the right person for this particular context that God can use. He's a great encourager. And for those 4 years of training together, I'm sure he was building up Paul, helping Paul to refine his mission to the Gentiles, getting clarity, getting understanding and an ability to communicate what God had put on his heart, and starting here in this particular part of the world. I imagine he's a bit like Pogba, the new £89 million signing for Manchester United. I'm an Arsenal fan, so if you are a Manchester United fan, I'd love to pray with you after the service. But one of the reasons he's such an expensive player is because he's a great passer of the ball. He's able to receive the ball and pass it on and release others to go and do their stuff, to score goals. And that's why he's one of the most valuable players in the world, is because he releases the gifts of others. And I think Barnabas is a little bit like that, and great mentors are a little bit like that. They're able to say, this is your gifting, this is who God has made you to be. Have you thought about serving him in this context? And how can a great mentor works with that person and helps them to refine their passion, their vision, their drive, so that they can go out and make the maximum impact for God in their lives? I think it would be wonderful if we could set up a mentoring scheme here at church, perhaps to help some of our younger people or those young in the faith. You know, if you've been following God for a long time, then you have a wealth of experience and character to be able to help people grow in their faith with God. Like Bruce is running a group to help people explore the Bible through the context of Ephesus. So that will be starting in the new year, a new term, sorry. And it's just a great way, it's a good example of how people are using their Bible knowledge and skills to be able to help people coming off Alpha, who are new to the faith, grow in their faith together. Perhaps just meeting up for coffee with someone once a month or something like that, and just meeting up and encouraging people, asking them, how's your walk with God going? Is there anything I can pray for? Or as a leadership team, we would love to see people serving God in their areas of passion and joy and of skill. So if you're stuck in a ministry at church at the moment, you think, gosh, I'm really not sure this is right for me anymore. I'd love to speak with you and pray with you and say, well, look, have you thought about maybe serving God in this way or that way? Have a think and have a pray before the new term kicks off. And let's see how we can encourage one another to be serving God in the right ways, in the right place, in the right time. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it, if all of us were completely serving God in our areas of gifting, our areas of passion. Because that, in turn, becomes infectious and encourages others again. And that's how, as well, we become like gems. We learn that gift of generosity, of encouragement, and through mentoring and encouraging together, God refines us so that we will shine with the glory of the gospel and share his love with others in all that we do, say, and think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful generosity to us, not least in the abundance of your forgiveness that we can receive and that grace that we can receive at the foot of the cross. Thank you. And Lord, the joy of knowing sins forgiven and of the slate wiped clean, would you encourage us to be generous with one another in our attitudes to one another, to extend that grace to others. And would you help us to be encouragers, not just cheering one another on, but getting to the real heart of those things that hold us back from walking more closely with you, to challenge one another, to support one another, and again in grace, walk with one another. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has a particular calling or a particular desire to be mentored or be a mentee, would you give them the courage to come and seek how they can serve or be served in that area? And we give you the life of this church in the term to come. Would you grow each and every one of us through our courses, through our small groups, through our prayer groups, through our time together, to be bold in becoming like Jesus and making his name known. In his name we pray. Amen.